The title for today's devotion is a verse out of the Psalms which says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths." I'm sure that no one has failed to be moved by the reactions of people around the world through the heroic actions of Captain Tom Moore. Captain Tom set out on an adventure to walk 100 times across the front of his home, where he is living, to hopefully raise £1,000 for the National Health Service. To date, I understand the figure has now reached nearly £30 million. It is amazing. Like Captain Tom, I am reminded of my friend of years gone by, Fred Smith, who had been a missionary in Brazil. He would regularly visit the docks in Liverpool to speak to the Spanish-speaking visitors disembarking off the ships, seeking to share the good news of Jesus. It was in the latter part of his 99th year, close to his 100th birthday, while still active, for God to call him home on high. He had achieved so much for God's kingdom. Captain Tom's daughter said her dad had purchased a walking machine late last autumn and had been practicing, and unknowingly would be ready for the events that were unfolding. Captain Tom said the doctors and nurses are fighting a type of war. We have got to support them. Tom had been a captain in the army and had travelled a good deal around the world, gaining a great deal of army experience. I have been amazed at the number of promises in the Bible regarding long life. It's a gift from God. In the early days, at the beginning of creation, mankind lived up to close on 1,000 years. We read of Enoch in Genesis 5, 21-24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he had become the father of Methuselah, he walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Then we read about Enoch's son Methuselah in Genesis 5, 25-27. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. After he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived a total of 969 years, and then he died. But because of man's sin, since Noah and the flood, the lifespan of mankind has greatly reduced. While the Israelites were wandering in the desert, God made a promise, instructing them by saying through Moses in Deuteronomy 5:33, "Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." God also said in Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." When Solomon first became king, we read what God asked him in 1 Kings 3 verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." This is Solomon's reply. In 1 Kings 3, 9-15 we read, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning art, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there be one. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honour, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. It is interesting to read about some of the characters who lived a long life. Take Moses, we read in Deuteronomy 5:35-7. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Por. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Listening to Captain Tom, we can see he is a very humble man. Seeing the plight of the National Health Service fighting this evil virus, he wanted to do something maybe small to help them. So he decided to walk 100 lengths of his home. What a response he got from such a small beginning. Let us pause for a moment and go back to the Old Testament and read about a man called Zerubbabel. Israel had grossly sinned and turned it back on God. So God allowed the Babylonians to come and take into exile most of the Israelite people, but not before the Babylonians had completely destroyed the temple and city of Jerusalem. In the fullness of time, after 70 years, God permitted the Israelites to return to commence the rebuild. We read in Ezra 3:8-9, in the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua the son of Zadok, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites and all who had returned from the captivity to Jerusalem, began the work. They appointed Levites, 20 years old and older, to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah, and the sons of Henadad, and their sons and brothers, all Levites, joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. Then, in Zechariah 4:6-10, God said to the prophet Zechariah, this is what the word of the Lord says to Zerubbabel: not by might, nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me: the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of his temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. On their return to their homeland, after being in exile, having been locked down for 70 years, the Israelites were facing a formidable task ahead. For us, once the coronavirus has passed, the governments and the peoples around the world have the inevitable task of rebuilding their individual countries. But you say, where do we begin? Captain Tom had a small idea which he put into action, just an idea, resulting in thousands of folk catching the vision. As children of God, I cannot emphasize enough, do not let your own ideas be only your guide. When Zerubbabel was about to commence rebuilding the temple, notice what God said to Zechariah in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. How many times when the church has a decision to be made or face a crisis, they have come up with just ideas. As I have witnessed in times past, by not allowing the Holy Spirit to guide, the church soon come off its rails and crash. If we in desperation just listen to our leaders with just their own ideas. In our church fellowships, it is imperative that we have godly leaders who know their God, who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As I go about preparing these studies, I do not want these writings to be just ideas. I need to hear God speaking into my spirit. In a vision to Daniel, God said in Daniel 11:32, "The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Of times, I am part through preparing these studies and my thoughts dry up. I just wait. Then suddenly, through listening to someone or reading something or observing something, a thought is triggered in my mind, followed by an almighty warm current of energy, a glow and a surge of Holy Spirit power through my heart and soul. I become excited. I know it is from God because His Spirit, inside my spirit, energizing my heart and mind. When He speaks, I have to note it down. When I was a leader in one of the churches in the UK, I would often sense the Holy Spirit directing me, giving me thoughts regarding the needs of the flock. When speaking to other members of the leadership team, they, not knowing what was in my heart, would mention the same thoughts. The Holy Spirit was indeed guiding and leading us. What a privilege. When we are under the direction of the Holy Spirit in what we do, when the time comes to share what God has told us, God will instill into the minds of His children that same seed. It will energize the hearts of His people, and we will see them get behind what God is seeking to do. Dwight L. Moody was a famous evangelist. Dwight L. Moody was a poorly educated, unordained shoe salesman who felt God's call to preach the gospel. Early one morning, he and some friends gathered in a hayfield for a season of prayer, confession, and consecration. His friend Henry Varley said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." Let us return to the verse we've just read and note what it says in Zechariah 4:10. "Who dares despise the day of small things?" Indeed, Jesus reminded us that we need to first plant just a small seed to expect growth. Jesus said in Luke 8:15, "The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." So what did Captain Tom do to achieve and to get such a following and achieve such a great amount of money? What did he do? He simply walked on his own. He soon became the top of the music charts with the song, "You'll Never Walk Alone." This may be a secular song, but such truth for the Christian lies in these words. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid in the dark. Though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. Walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. During the period of this pandemic, many, many families and friends all around the world have been devastated by the loss of a loved one. It was so sad to think most of those who died were alone, not able to have their closest of their families at their bedside as they passed away. My mind was turned to that most famous of Psalms, Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For the Christian, what the Apostle Paul said is very poignant. We read in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Jesus said in John 14, 1-3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If they were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is in heaven, preparing a place for all who know him and have invited him into their lives, become their friend and saviour. You can do just that today. We read in Acts 2:21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, will come and live in you, assuring you of a place with him for eternity. Recently, I have discovered a beautiful song which speaks of many difficulties we are facing each day and the longing we may have to fix those difficulties. But it says, when we do not know what to do or who to turn to, it says, but I know a man who can. Let's read the words. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again, but I know a man who can. And I can't take a soul that's sinful and make it white, whiter than snow, but I know a man who can. Some call him Saviour, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. I can't walk on the waters or calm a raging sea, but I know a man who can. And I can cause blind eyes to open, make the lame to rise up and walk again. But I know a man who can. Some call him Saviour, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. Some call him Saviour, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man, yes, I know a man who can. This song is very inspiring. Let's listen to it.
Redeemer of men, but I call Television right now, or the internet, or listening or radio, and the situation has turned grim for you. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You might say, Brother Swaggart, nobody can help me. Yes, there's one who can. There's one who can. I received a letter a little bit ago, and a brother wrote. He said, Brother Swaggart, just a few hours ago, I walked across a stage at one of the most prestigious universities in the world. and got my PhD. That's the highest educational attainment that one can come by. He said, I had to write and say thank you because 4 years ago, he said, I was so strung out on drugs. Everything was gone. I was shooting needles under my tongue. And I turned on that black and white TV set. And something got a hold of me that morning. Changed my life. Changed my heart. I'm going to ask Gracie to sing that second verse again. And I want you to just believe the Lord and He'll come to your rescue. He'll help you. He'll touch you if you'll allow Him to do so.
I can't walk upon the waters, and I can't calm those raging seas, but I know a man who can, and I can't cause blind eyes to make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Let me tell you from experience, I know a man, hallelujah, yeah. I know a man, hallelujah, I know a wonderful man who
God. I know a man who can. I know a man who can. I know a man who can. Some call him Savior.
You feel and your life is out of hand. Let me tell you that
some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. Let us continue with Captain Tom's story. Sitting down with one of his daughters after completing his walk and having many thousands giving money to the National Service, Captain Tom was asked how he would celebrate his birthday, which was imminent. As he was on lockdown, he said he would just have a small celebration, and then when it's all over, he would like a grand celebration and invite many folk to come. A greater part of the world is in lockdown at the moment. Many of us are having to isolate and stay at home. We look forward to a time when the pandemic has died down and we can begin to go back to some form of normality. We read in Romans 8, 22 and 23, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. This world is not like it was in the Garden of Eden. Sin has changed everything. Jesus said when he met up with his disciples after his resurrection, in Luke 22, 15 to 19, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Each time we eat the bread and drink the wine, it is for us to remember Jesus' death, but more gloriously to remember his resurrection, which he accomplished. It is indeed a celebration. Just as Captain Tom will only be having a small celebration, we too here on earth, each time we take communion or breaking of bread, we are having a celebration. But nothing like what awaits all God's people when Jesus suddenly will come into the air and take his people, the church, home on high. The Apostle John, in a vision, describes how he saw the church in heaven meeting for a great celebration. This is what he saw. Revelation 19, 6 to 9. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We, God's people, are described in the New Testament as the bride of Christ. We await a great celebration in heaven. We soon will be with Jesus in heaven to have the final celebration. It was announced on BBC that the Royal Mail will stamp all letters with a message to celebrate Captain Tom Moore's 100th birthday on Thursday. All stamped posts up until Friday will be marked with Happy 100th birthday, Captain Thomas Moore, National House Service Fundraising Hero, 30th of April, 2020. In a day to come, God is going to show recognition to those of his church who have been valiant soldiers of faith. We read in Revelations 3:11-13, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me leave you with a final word from Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. In closing, I want to commend to you a song which is titled, I Have a Destiny, I Can Fulfill. Let us listen to this rousing song. May God bless you with his peace and joy. Amen.